Begin the current daf, Masechtas Gittin, daf Ayin Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf Ayin Vav Mem Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion and qualifies the machlokes that we mentioned on the previous daf. And that is our Mishnah on the previous daf opened up by saying a halacha. If a husband tells his wife, "This is your get. If I do not come back within the next 12 months, and he dies within those 12 months," so the Tana of our Mishnah said, it's not going to be a get, because it's only going to be taking effect if he's not back by the end of those 12 months. And by that point in time, he's already dead, and you can't give a get once you're dead. But our Gemara quoted a brisa that said, Rabbi Seinu, which was a reference to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, they were hitiru linase. They did permit such a woman to marry. It is a valid gerushin. So the Gemara explained the reason is because he holds that Rabbi Yasi, who holds zman shtar machiach lav, it's as if it's like the next case of our Mishnah, which is when he says, harizikitech me'achshav, it will take effect from now if I'm not back within the next 12 months, then retroactively it's from now, and since he doesn't make it back because he actually ends up dying, then it's going to be a valid get because it's not a get lachar misa in 12 months from now, it's actually from right now, which when that point in time he was still alive. That's the machlokes that we quoted regarding when it doesn't say me'achshav, do you say that the zman shtar is mechiach lav like Rabbi Yasi, and therefore it's going to be a valid get, or like the Tana of Mishnah, that's not. So Omar Abaye says, and he expounds on this machlokes, he says, look, hakol moedim, everyone agrees, heichad Omar, where a man tells his wife at nighttime, and he tells her, this is your get, l'kashat teitzi chamim in artika. When the sun comes out of its sheath, when it comes out of what contains it at nighttime, then it's going to be a valid get. So as we continue on top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, l'chi nafka kamala, what is he telling her? That when it comes out, and hence, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who holds a Rabbi Yasi, like the Tana of the Braisa, t'chimayis baleli, when he dies at nighttime, have a get, l'achar misa, it's going to be a get after death. And so that's a case that everyone would agree on. Now, as Rashi draws a parallel for what we're discussing over here of Abaye is cases of when the sun comes out, but it parallels the cases that we were discussing in the previous daf too. So for example, regarding the case of our Mishnah, where if a man tells his wife, this is going to be your get, that when I don't come back within 12 months, so that according to everyone is not going to be a get. Because you can't rely on the dating of the document to prove that you wanted it to take effect right now, because explicitly he said, when I don't come, then there will be a get. But he's just saying, not from now. So there it says, Abaya, everyone would agree that it's going to be considered get la'achar misa, because you're saying that it should take effect only then. Now, going the other way. If he says that I'm divorcing, this should be your get on the condition that the son comes out from its sheath. So me'achshav kamala. So then everyone would agree that it's actually telling her that it should take effect from now, because the Amar Avunim Rav, and as the Gersa is that it's in the name of Rebbe, kala oimra almanas. Whoever says on the condition, it's ka'ima me'achshav dami. It's essentially like you're saying from now, because you're saying, look, this is your get on the condition. It's just a condition, but it's not when it should take effect. So there, even the Tana of our Mishnah would hold, even though you didn't say me'achshav, but saying almanas is like saying me'achshav, and therefore, like in the parallel of the case of our Mishnah regarding 12 months from now, if you said almanas, it's going to be a valid get. Now, says Abaya, loy nechleku ela be'im teitze. The machlekes that would expand from the machlekes of the Tana of our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya in regards to the case that they were discussing in our Mishnah and the Braisa, similar parallel you would have over here, but the case that Abaya is discussing of im teitze. If the sun comes out tomorrow from its sheath, where again, that's the same thing as in the case of our Mishnah, where the husband had said, im loy basi, if I don't come back within 12 months. Now, the understanding of this is because we mentioned previously on the Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, regarding if a husband tells his wife, im mati, if I die. So we explained over there that the word im, if, generally as it's translated, could actually have two interpretations. It could mean from now, and it could also mean when that thing ends up happening, when we reach that date. So, we explained over there that if he says mehayoyim, meaning that this should be your get from today, im mati, if I die. So we say if you're adding mehayoyim, so you're saying it should take effect from now. Now, but if you don't say mehayoyim, then we said that then when you end up dying, when that time reaches, that's going to take effect. So therefore explains Abaya, that is the fundamental machlokes between the Tanakama of the Tana of Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya in that brisa, which again has the same parallel in this case that he's describing of im teitze, if the sun. Again, not likasha teitze, not when it, because then everyone agrees that it's only then. Not almanas, not on the condition that it does, because then everyone would agree it's actually me'achshav. It's im, you use the word im, if teitze, if it comes out tomorrow. So on that, the Gemara explains, mar sabala k'Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, the Tana the Braisa, holds like Rabbi Yosi, as we explained on the previous daf. The Amar Zmanet Shel Shtar Mechichelav. He says that the document, the dating of the document, indicates that you want it to be right now. So therefore, v'havalei kimahayoyim imati. Essentially, when you say imati, if I die, or imtetzi, or if the sun comes out, you're essentially saying, from today, if I die. Because, as we said, according to Reb Yosi, whenever you have a date in the document, unless you're clearly indicating likish etetze, that when it should be then, if you're not clearly counter-indicating, then it's going to be from now. So it's like saying, from now, if I die, kamei achshav imati, from now, if I die, which again, as we explained on Daf Ayin Beis, according to everybody, would take effect right now. But that's only because Reb Yehuda Nesiya holds like Reb Yosi did Zman HaShlashta Mechich Lav. But Mar Loi Sovelik Reb Yosi, the Tana of our Mishnah does not agree to Reb Yosi. He doesn't say that the Zman of the Shtar is Mechich, that as if you're saying Mehayoyim from today. Why you're at a date? That's for a different reason, but it's not to say because you want it to take effect from today. So essentially, by the case of, let's say, when you say Im Tetze, if the sun will come out from the sheath, is the same thing as the case that we explained in the Ayin Beis, where the person says that this should be you get Im Mati, if I die, where we explain that's like saying that it should take effect after I die, which is not going to be a valid get, because it's only happening after that he dies. So here also, like in the parallel of the case of our Mishnah, where he says that where he says the words Im Loi Basi, if I don't come back, it's like saying that when I don't come back, which is after 12 months, that's when this should take effect. But as we said, 6 months in or whatever it is, he ended up dying, and that's why according to Tana of Amishna, it's not going to be valid. So too in the case of, let's say, where he says, Im Tetze, if the sun comes out and he dies during that night, it's not going to be valid. Whereas according to Tana of the Brice, Reb Yehuda Nesiya, Im Tetze, or the words of our Mishnah, if Im Loi Basi, those cases are going to be valid, getting because he learns like Reb Yosi, it's as if you wrote the word Mehayayim because you wrote the date of the document, and therefore it's like saying Me'achshav, where again, if you have Me'achshav, according to everybody, it's taking effect from now, and therefore even if he dies during the nighttime or within the 12 months, it's not going to invalidate the document. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah, another case where if the husband told, he said, Kisvu utnu getlisht, he says, I want you to write and give a get to my wife, Im lei basi mekan vajud beis chaydish, if I don't come back within the next 12 months. Now, the Mishnah told us, Kasuva b'chulu, it said that different cases regarding, it was two different cases, where one was talking about two different variations of what they did. One halacha that Mishnah spoke about was, if they wrote the get within the 12 months, and they gave it after 12 months, said the Mishnah is not a get. But then the Mishnah said that if they wrote the get, and they gave it to the wife, regarding a different case, where he writes, Kisvu v'tnu get le'ishti, Im loy basi mekan yodyod beis chaydish, if I don't make it back within the next 12 months. So then the Mishnah said, if they wrote it within the 12 months, and they gave it after the 12 months, not going to be a get. But Rabbi Yosi, I'm a kizeg get. He said in that second variation, that second wording, he says it's going to be a valid get. Now, it's on that case that the Gemara asks. Because the Gemara assumes originally that Rabbi Yosi would be arguing on both those cases, because they seemingly sound like the same idea. Both of them essentially saying, only if I'm not back within the next 12 months, then write and give the get to my wife. But as we'll see in the Gemara, there is a differentiation which is important. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Yemuel Rav Ashi says, Lamech Sav Rav Yosi, is this the Sid Rav Yosi holds? Kasav get al tanai, that if you write a get on condition that kasher is going to be kasher even if the condition was not fulfilled? Because here, the case that we're discussing in our Mishnah is where he said to write it after 12 months. Now they didn't listen to that tonight. They wrote it within the 12 months. They just gave it after the 12 months, and yet Rabbi Yosi said that it's kosher. So seemingly what the Gemara is asking is that it sounded like that he would be arguing on the case of the Reisha too, because what's the difference between the two cases? Either he said, if I'm not back within 12 months, then write and give the get to my wife, or write and give the get to my wife, if I'm not back within 12 months. So seemingly there's no difference. So seemingly Rabbi Yosi holds that, yeah, even though they wrote it within 12 months, it's going to be valid, but a stipulation was to write only after. What's the difference? Why does he hold that it's kosher if he didn't fulfill the tonight? So the Gemara says, Loi, no. Loi lememuchah pasul, Rabbi Yosi, of course, would agree. The husband could make stipulations on his execution of the get, and if you don't listen to him, it's not going to be valid. But v'shani hocha, the case of the seifa is different than the case of the reisha. In other words, the case of the reisha, Rabbi Yosi would agree that it's not going to be a valid get, as in the Mishnah, he doesn't argue on that case. Because he said clearly, he says, first, if I'm not back within 12 months, then write and give it. So it's clearly that he's saying that first has to be the 12 months and then write and give it. So it wouldn't be valid. But the case of the Seifa, midahava leila meima, from the fact that the husband should have said, im le basi, kisvu betenu, if I'm not back, meaning like the wording of the first case the Mishnah spoke about, where Rabbi Yisrael didn't disagree, the husband should have said, if I'm not back within 12 months, then write and give it. The Amar, but instead he didn't say that. He said it the other way around. He said, first kisvu etnu, write and give this get to my wife, im loy bas, if I don't come back within 12 months. So hachikama, you know what? This is what he's actually saying. Kisvu, there's a comma. Kisvu, write it, me'achshav, from now. Utnu, and give it, is on the next part of the sentence. Im loy bas, if I don't make it back within the 12 months. But as the Gemara is explaining, in the case of the Reisha, Rabbi Yisrael, of course, would agree, where he's clearly saying that everything starts only after the 12 months, that if you write it within 12 months, it's not going to be valid. Now, but the Rabban who argue in Rabbi Yisrael in our Mishnah, they hold that no, lo yishna hachi, there's no difference if he said, kisvu tenu im leibasi, and lo yishna hachi, there's no difference if he says, im leibasi kisvu. Because ultimately, the way they read what the guy is saying is he didn't command to write it until after the 12 months, and therefore if they wrote it within 12 months, Rabban would hold its puzzle. But Rabbi Yisrael agrees, of course you have to fill the Tanai, but why did he first say kisvu utenu and then imloy basi? To tell you the kisvu is now even, and imloy, and then the tenu is only imloy basi, alacha yud beis chaydish. Now the Gemara continues with the Braisa, Tan Rabban lin the Braisa. If let's say a husband tells his wife, similar to the cases we're discussing in the Mishnah, this is your get if I don't come, la'achar shavua, after this Shemitah cycle, which is a 7-year cycle. So what does it mean after? So the Braisa explains that we wait for him shana, another year, meaning the 8th year, meaning the entire 8th year is called achar shavua, after the Shemitah cycle. So because it's not that second that it ends. After, if I don't come after, meaning is that whole year after. Let's say it says la'achar shana. Let's say it says that if I don't come after the year, it's you wait another chaydish, you wait a month after. That's considered still after. La'achar chaydish, let's say, says that if I don't come after the month, that Shabbos, you wait one more week. So the Gemara says, la'achar Shabbos mai. Let's say it says, if I don't come till after Shabbos, what's halacha going to be? Meaning after a week. So yes, Reb Zeri, kamed Reb Asi, v'amrilon, some say it was Reb Asi, kamed Reb Yechanon, but come on, he said, chad b'shaba, betrei b'tlasa, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is considered buster Shabbat, is considered after Shabbos, meaning it's still from the previous Shabbos. So that would be qualified as still coming after Shabbos. But Arba, B'chamsho, Mali Shabbos, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is considered Kamei Shabbos, is considered before Shabbos, it's already considered part of the next Shabbos. And therefore, when we're saying over here Shabbos, as Rashi just qualifies, we're talking about Shabbos itself, meaning when he said after Shabbos meant a week. But after Shabbos is considered Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, still after Shabbos. Once it's already Wednesday, it's ready for the next Shabbos. That would already not be anymore after Shabbos. And then the get would already have been qualified as a get. Now, Tanya Lina Brai said that Rebbe, I mean, he says, if let's say the husband tells to the wife that it's going to be a get if I don't come la'acha regal after the Yomtiv, meaning if I don't come after Yomtiv, what's considered after coming after Yomtiv? So you have to wait, Shleishim Yom, 30 days. That's what Rebbe said. So another Rebbe went out, and Darshim Ishmael the Rebbe, and he expounded in Rebbe's name, this halacha, the kilsua, and the people praised Reb Chiya. In other words, they said, yes, you're saying it over appropriately, because it definitely was a yachid, an individual, a talmud chacham, that of Rebbe who said this halacha. Now, Mishmei Derabim, when he had expounded this halacha of Rebbe in general, as if the public consensus of the rabbis were this halacha, v'lo kilsua. And they didn't agree to him. They didn't agree that he should say it over as if it's a general halacha from the rabbim, because actually the halacha is not like Rebbe. So the Gemara concludes, Alma less hilchas akava say, obviously the halacha is not like Rebbe in this halacha, and actually acha regal is not for a period of 30 days. That's why they said, yes, say it over in the name of a yachad, of Rebbe. We don't paskin necessarily like a yachad. But don't say it over like in the name of a rabbim, because then you're saying as if we know the halacha is like the rabbim, but that's not the halacha, because halacha is actually acha regal, is not for a period of 30 days. Hanulach Misha Achso, we shall return to the 7th Perek Masechet Zgitin, Perek Misha Achso. And with that, we begin the 8th Perek Masechet Zgitin, Perek HaZerik, which we open up with the halachas of when it says in the Pasuk, V'nasam B'yada, he has to write the sefer krisis for his wife and he has to put it in her hand. So we open up with these halachas talking about what's considered in her hand. Does he actually have to put it in her hand? And that's the only way? Or is that an expansive halacha, which is qualified based on the hand, but it's actually even areas that are considered part of her? So the Mishnah says, Hazari get le'ishtei. Someone throws a get to his wife, v'hi b'teich beisa, and she's in her house, which, as Rashi qualifies, what does it mean, her house? As we'll see, there's halacha of kol mashakon se'isha kon le'baila, whatever the woman owns is really considered under the domain of her husband. So how could he give something to her that's hers and not his? So Rashi says, consider from nichsei milug. There's different types of assets that the woman brings into her marriage. Nichsei tzar barzel is considered more her husband's than her own. But then there's something called nichsei milug, which is still considered that she owns them. Just the husband gets to use the utility, which the Gemara will address that problem, because seemingly then it's still considered the husband's, and it's never leaving his domain. But we're talking about her nichsei milug, and he throws it to her so that she owns that house, and he throws it to her on, and it falls on the floor in her house. And she's in her house, or he throws it into her courtyard. So the halacha of the Mishnah says is, harizu megureshes, she's considered divorced, and because her chatzar, her courtyard, has acquired the get for her, and it says, if you have what the pasuk says, v'nasa miyada, as if he put it into her hand, as Gemara will explain, although the pasuk says, v'nasa miyada, again, it doesn't mean just literally her hand. Now, however, says the Mishnah, v'zoku lo b'teich beisoy, let's say he threw it to her when she was in his house, or b'teich chatzar, or in his courtyard. So afilo hu ima b'mita, even if he's together with her in the same bed, in the mugureshes, she's not divorced, so although it's right next to her, doesn't make a difference. It's his courtyard and it's his bed. Now, however, if he throws it into her lap, or the tech kalsar into her basket, which this was a type of basket that the women would put in all their different needles and all the different tchotchkes, so harizu mugureshes. So then she's going to be divorced. And this is even if she's in her house at that point in time, because it's in her basket, in her lap, as the Gemara will explain on the next daf. So the Gemara first asked Manan immediately, from where do we know this seemingly big chiddush, that when it says in the pasuk that you have to put it in her hand, it doesn't mean literally just in her hand. It means even in her courtyard or her house. So the Gemara says, we learn the Braisa. The pasuk in Devarim says, v'nasem b'yad, and he puts it in her hand. Now, so it says the Braisa, in le'eliyad, I would only know that he could divorce her if he puts it into her hand. Gaga chatzera v'karfifa minayin. How do we know that even if he puts it on her roof or her courtyard or her enclosed areas that she owns, how do you know that would be considered v'nasim b'yada? Tamalima v'nasim. Because the pasuk says, and that he gives it. Mikal malkim sounds like any type of giving. Now Rashi explains that the reason why we can interpret this, what do you mean? It doesn't say v'nasim, it says v'nasim b'yada, is because it could have said u'b'yada yitnena, first saying the word yad before the ten, and in her hand he will put it. Now, it doesn't say that. It says first the word v'nasan. Then, yes, it does have b'yada afterwards, but the word v'nasan, since it comes first, you read that word first, sounds like whatever type of giving he gives her. Now, so why does the Torah say that he puts it in our hand if it's not just in our hand? It's because, as we'll see, as we will later explain, it gets qualified, these areas like Gaga, Chatzer, Kafifa, Baisa, they'll get qualified to be similar to her hand, which is just like a person's own hand is safeguarded according to their understanding, their intelligence, because they're right next to their hand. That's how their other domains that are theirs have to be the same qualification, excluding other things that are not Mishtamer Sladaita. But it doesn't literally have to be your hand, because if it was, then it would have said, Ubiyada Titnana, since it says V'nasim Biyada, it's any type of Nesina that's in her domain. But Tanina Mehochi Gabeganam, the Gemara says the same limit that we have over here regarding Gittin, regarding her hand, we have the same halacha regarding the penalty of Kefil, which is when someone steals something, he has to pay back not just the principal, but even double that amount. So it says there in the pasuk, imhimotze timotze biyodoi, that if the theft is found in his hand, then he has this obligation of kefil. So the Braisa says, ainli eliyada, I would only know if you find it in his hand, that he stole through his hand. Gagai chatzer v'kafifa minayin, how do we know the same thing applies even if it's in his roof, or in his courtyard, or in his clothes and structures, that's how he stole, then even then he would be liable for kefil. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches in Shemais. Again, since it says first finding before biyadai, so we qualify himatze timatze any type of finding, whatever is considered in his domain. And then biyadai again qualifies again what's considered that halacha. But you see that it's any type, it's not just in the hand itself. So the Gemara says, and we needed to learn this chiddush and halacha by both them, which seemingly you could have just said it by one, and we would have known that biyadai doesn't mean necessarily in hand. It's whatever is considered your domain. So then you would know either from get to Ganav or from Ganav to Get. Why do we need to say this halacha by both? Says the Gemara, the Ash mean Get, had we only said this halacha by Get, that when you put it in her hand, doesn't mean literally her hand, it means even her domains, Mishum de Bal Karcha Magarsha. That's because, in general, the halacha is by Gerishin, that you could divorce a woman even without her consent against her will. So since even when you're putting it in her hand, it's forcefully, and it's considered Gerishin, so therefore we would say that you see that we could expand what's normally the person's the options where, yeah, I could force you to take it. So if I could force you to take it, so then that expands even to saying I could even put it into your courtyard. Avaganav de lesse bal karche, but regarding a thief, where there is no such halacha that he's considered a thief to be chayv and kefil, if let's say someone forcefully put it in his courtyard or put it in his hand, he's not chayv as a ganav for that case. So then Eamon then that would say that even when he does it willingly, that he is a thief, that lie, that we did not institute that his courtyard, if let's say he didn't draw it and do it by his hand, that he stole, let's say, by if the animal went into his courtyard and he just locked the door, thus stealing that other person's thing, maybe we wouldn't consider that as a ganav to find it in Bichayev and Mekevah, because we can't expand that halacha where it doesn't apply Bal Karche. So it's not Bal Karche, so maybe it's only when I do it with my hand. Maybe it's only by get, not by ganav. Now, V'yashmin the ganav, had we only said that this halacha of where you find it in his hand, that is chayev and kefil, by a thief, it's not just in his hand, but it's even in his courtyard, maybe over there, mishum dekantzei rachmana, because the Torah penalized him. You're a thief. You stole. So it's not literally if you just find it in your hand, the pasuk is coming to tell you, even if you find it, that you stole it through your courtyard. But by get, I would say that no, there's no penalty over there. When you want to divorce a woman, it says biyada, maybe literally has to mean in her hand, not in her courtyard. So therefore, we have to tell you that chiddush, that it's not just hand, it's even in more expansive interpretation, even in their domains, that we have to tell you that both by get and by ganav. Now, however, the Gemara asks a more fundamental question, which we alluded to in the Mishnah already, that we said, okay, so we understand this halacha. Fine, it's not just in her hand, it's even any domain that she owns. The question is, chatzera? What does it mean to throw the get into her courtyard? Mashakon si ishakon abaylo, whatever a woman acquires, her husband acquires. And again, as we explained in the Mishnah, yes, she could own her nechsei meluk, it's hers, but at least the payrus, the utility, the husband has the rights to utilize all his wife's stuff. And therefore, essentially, the get has never left totally from the domain of the husband to the woman, which is integral to be considered a sefer kris, has to totally leave his domain and go to her, but it never left. Because even hard courtyard is really, he has rights to it too. So it's still his, so it never left. So how are you having into a hard courtyard, even if you say there is such a halachic principle, but it's not shaykh b'metzis, it's not possible to have that in actuality because she doesn't own anything. And even if she does, the husband has rights to it too. So Amr Belazri says, the case is talking about b'kleisavla, that he wrote to her, dinu dvarm inli b'nachsayach. He said that I have no rights, I have no words regarding your properties. Where your nachsi melug, I don't have any utility to it. And therefore it is totally hers. He has no rights to it. Now the Gemara at this point assumes that he wrote her this after they had already been married. They had been married, and let's say maybe even to figure out a way he wanted to divorce her, but he can't get into her hands. So he says, look, these properties, your nechsei meluk, I have no rights in them. Now, when he puts it into her courtyard, it's totally leaving from his domain to her domain. Now, but the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rebbe Elazar, v'chikasav lahachi mayhava, what does it help for him to write that regarding this nechsei meluk, that he has rights to it, he has the utility, he has the payrus. If he writes to her that I have no din advarim, does that help? Meaning, does that remove it from his rights to say that now it's not his properties anymore? But v'tanu lo nabraisa ha'im alachaver. Someone tells his friend that he had a partnership with him. He says din advarim ein li'asadazu. You know this field that we own together. I have no dinim, I have no legalities and no tainus on this field, I have no rights to it. Or ve'inli esigbor, any one of these terminologies, I have no business with this. Or v'yadi misulekes, I mean, my hand is removed from this, I have nothing with this field anymore. Says the b'raisa loy omar klom, he hasn't said anything. Why? Because it is yours. If you don't want it to be yours anymore, you could write a terminology of gifting, you could give it to him, but you can't say, I have nothing to do with it. What do you have nothing to do with it? It is yours. So the question is, if this is nechsei meluk, the husband has payrus for it, he can't say, oh, din advarim ainli, what does that help? It's still yours. So how can you, Rebbe Elazar, say that's the case of why it's considered not his domain and that he's giving it to her by saying din advarim, if din advarim doesn't help? So Amadir Rebbe Yanai, and they said in the yeshiva of Rebbe Yanai, that because of law, interpreting this answer of Rebbe Elazar, it's where he wrote to her that he has no din advarim in her nechasim, v'oida arusa. He had written this to her when she was still engaged to him, which is before he has the rights to her nechasim. That he only gets when there's nisu, when they get married. So therefore, he doesn't have to write, like Rebbe Elazar says, a terminology of gifting, because he could make this condition, this stipulation, when they're still engaged. Or could Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana said, Nachla ha'baloi la'odim imokam achar. Regarding inheritance, that a person is going to get from somewhere else, whereas Rashi explains, not, let's say, a biblical inheritance from his father, because that's different. That's something that really is considered like the person's already on some level. Rather, it's coming from somewhere else. Says Rav Kahana, other masna ala, a person could make a condition before he married already. Again, once you married already, you can't say din dvar. But before, like the case that we're describing over here from Rav Yanai, where they were only engaged, where he didn't yet married her, payers of nichsi milug, that's only when they get married, so he could make a condition, shalai rishana, that he doesn't want to inherit it. You don't have to gift it, you just say, I don't want to get it. Okay, the Rav, like Rav said, ho'im, if someone says, as we continue in Tamid Beis, e'ef shibit ha'kans chachamim, I don't want, meaning it's a refusal. You don't have to then dump it out. You could just say, I don't want it coming in. If let's say someone says, I don't want what the rabbis have instituted for my benefit. Kaganzu, like for example, this case, because actually this halacha of Rabbah, he was saying regarding something else. So Shemin, like, then we listen to him, because since the whole takana, the whole rectification was made only for this person. So you could say, you did it only for my benefit. I don't want that benefit. But again, this illustrates this principle that Reb Zeir, that we're saying to enter Belaz's interpretation, that if it didn't happen yet, then you could say, Dinei Dvarim Ein L'Binach Sayich. And that was the case that we're discussing in our Mishnah, where how does she have Chatzera or Beisa if it's still the husband's pairs? He doesn't have the pairs, because before they got married, he said, Dinei Dvarim Ein L'Binach Sayich. So then it's totally going into her domain. Now the Gemara just asked, Maika Gainzu, what was this case that Rav had said that a person could refuse a takans chachamim, for example, like this case, what was the case he was discussing? Could Rav Huna says the name of Rav. The Amrav Huna Marav, Yuchayli Isha Shetem Labal, a woman could tell her husband, Eini Nezenis, I'm not going to get fed, I'm not going to get sustenance from my husband, and the Eini Isa, and therefore whatever work I make, my income, it's not going to go to him. Now the reason being is because when the rabbis instituted that a husband has to feed his wife, it was for the benefit of the woman. Because sometimes it could happen that a woman doesn't earn enough to maintain what she needs for her own needs. Now, once they made the takana that the husband has to feed the wife, then they instituted so then the earnings that a woman makes goes to her husband, because or else it's going to be, wait a second, I have to feed her, but she could earn and then I don't get that? How's that fair? So because of Ava, because of the enmity, they made that her maisadam go to the husband. But therefore, since the whole purpose of the tikkun was for her, she could say, I don't want it. You keep your food. I'm higher earner than you, and I'll keep what I need. So that was the case where we said this concept again, illustrating this halacha of refusing before you get that benefit. So that was one interpretation in the Mishnah, which we asked, Kom Ashakans Ishakan Labayla. And the Gemara answered is Tomad Nechsi Milog, where the husband doesn't have any rights to it, where before they got married, he said, Din Edvam Ein Lebenach Sayach. Now, however, Rav Amar, he actually says that we could even be talking about a case where he didn't tell her din edvarim ein lebenach sayach. Now the question was, but mashakans ishakan abayla, how do we have her own courtyard, her own house, if whatever she owns is really the husband's? So that Rabbi says, atu yada milikani le labal? What do you mean? You think that her hand is not owned by her husband? Which Gemara is going to shortly ask, what does it mean? The husband doesn't own her hands itself. But the point is, what Rabbi is illustrating is, the husband owns her hands. And if that's the case, how does she get divorced in the first place, even when she receives it in her hand? The husband owns the hand. It's not her hand. Ella, so rather Rabbi says, Gita v'yada boin ke'echad. Her get and her own hand, meaning that it's being her own hand, happen simultaneously. Meaning, through the get, then you're getting divorced. Now it becomes back, reverts back to being your own hand when you get it. And now, it's your own hand. So now you can receive the get. It's almost like a catch-22, but it's really happening at the same time. You can't really receive it because it's not your hand. It's really staying in the husband. But when you get the get, then it is your hand. Oh, now it is your own hand. So now you can receive the get. That's how Rav explains it. That's how a woman could always get divorced in her hand. So he says, the same thing happens over here. You're right. Her courtyard, which really she owns, but the husband has the payers, so he has rights in it. It's not her own courtyard. But when the get comes in, you're getting divorced. Oh, now it's your chatz. So now you can receive the get. It happens simultaneously. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amli Ravina Ravashi. He says, wait, Rava, who had the question, which was to prove his answer, by saying, Atu Yada Mila Kan Lilabal? What do you mean? Everyone's discussing how does her courtyard acquire the get for her and get divorced. But it's not her own because the husband has rights in it. So he says, what do you mean? What's with her own hand itself? So on that, Ravina asked Ravashi, Yad the Isha Kokashale? What, Rava was really bothered by the woman's own hand? How did she get divorced with her own hand? And that he asked, what do you mean? Nehida kanile la maisiyadao. Oh, you're right that a woman's maisiyadao, not her hands, but the acts of her hands, the handiwork, meaning her earnings, that we understand the husband has, he owns that. As we said, because since he feeds her, so her maisiyadao are owned by him. But yada guva mikanile, what do you mean? But her own hand, you think the husband owns the woman's own hand? No, her hand is her own hand. So since her body is not owned by her husband, so when he gives the get in her hand, so now the get is removed from the husband's domain into her domain. And that's why she gets divorced. But not because kita v'yod b'en ke'ech. It's not like she acquires her own hand at the same time that she acquires her own get, to say that we could parallel that to halacha of a chatzar. And therefore, back to the question. Therefore, by a chatzar that's acquiring for her, how could she get divorced if it's not her chatzar at that moment? And we don't see a halachic precedent for saying kita v'yod b'en ke'ech, to say that chatzar v'kita b'en ke'ech. So Amalei, so Ravashi answered to Ravin, he says, no, Rava, what he was proving from was Yad Ho'evet Kukashli. You're right, regarding a woman, her hand is not owned by her husband. But he was proving his point from the hand of a slave was bothering him, because a slave's body is owned by his master. And yet, he is receiving his own emancipation by himself. Because he was going Lamandam, according to the opinion which is mentioned in Masechet Kedushin, Davchav Beis Mabeis, that the slave himself could acquire himself Bishtar Ali De Atzmai, by receiving himself, he could receive his own document of emancipation, Hishtar Shikhar, with his own hand. And that was Rava's question. I don't understand. Yad Evid Kiyad Rabbi Damye, the hand of a slave is like the hand of his master. So when the master puts it in the slave's hand, it's like he's putting it into his left hand. So he's never divorcing him. So how does he get divorced? Even with his own hand. It's never going out of the master's domain to be considered Hishtar Shikhar. So Ella, rather, Rava said, must be Gita V'yod, the Born Kech. It must be that the Get Shichrer and the hand of the slave are happening simultaneously. That's what Rava was proving. That's why you could say the same thing for the Halacha of our Mishnah. You're right. It's not only her Chatzar now, because the husband has the pears. But when the Get goes in there, simultaneously, it's now being removed from his domain through the Get. And therefore, it is her Chatzar. And therefore, her Chatzar is acquiring the Get for her. Happens all at the same time. Now, actually, the Gemara brings the following incident that illustrates this halacha of Rava, which was the second approach of the Gemara to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. The Gemara says, "Ha'ushchiv mera." There was a person on his deathbed, deathly ill. The chasav lagita ledebeisu, that he wrote a get for his wife. Now he wrote it b'hadi panya demale shabsa on Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos. Now, v'lo hispik lemesivla, they didn't get a chance to deliver it to her before it became Shabbos. Now lemachar Shabbos morning tukaf le'alma. He was in major turmoil. He was getting very dysregulated. He was afraid that maybe he's going to die. He knows his end is near. And if the get doesn't get to her, she's going to have to go through the whole Yibam process, which is a very challenging thing for his wife, where because they died without any children. And the problem is they couldn't go ahead and bring the get over on Shabbos and to give it to her because it was Shabbos. So Asla Kameh the Rabbah, they came in front of the Rabbah to ask what to do. So Amlahu, he said to them, Zilu Amrle, go ahead and tell that dying man a certain leniency regarding the halachas of Shabbos, because generally you cannot do kinyonim acquisitions on Shabbos, but that is a rabbinic law, and therefore for that he was lenient. And he said, "Liknei nahalah lahu duchta de yasa begit." He says, "Let him acquire for her to be makna to her the place in his house. She wasn't around; they couldn't go ahead and deliver to her the place of where the get is laying in his house." Now, as we'll see, that the way he could be maknatar, the place of where the get was laying, through a kinya of chazaka, which karka, land, which is what it was on in his house, could be acquired with a chazaka. What type of a chazaka? How can you assume ownership of a piece of land? Because v'tezel ihi v'teched, what she could do is, she should go and close the door of the room which is being acquired to her, through chazaka, as the Gemara is shortly going to explain, that's a way of being machzik, of taking ownership of a certain area. V'tiftach, and she'll open up the door. V'tachzik, and through doing that, by closing and opening up the door, that will be considered a chazaka to take ownership of that spot in the house, which is considered his, but now through that act of ownership, she'll get the spot, because he's acquiring it to her, the spot of where the get is laying. It's not like learn the Mishnah Baba Basra. The Mishnah says, Nol, if let's say someone closes a door, or Gadar, he closes up a breach, or Paratz, or he breaches a hole in the fence, Kalshu, no matter how small this act was, Harizu Chazaka, that's considered a Chazaka to acquire, which from that point on, the seller cannot retract anymore from the sale. Now, that's exactly what Rava was proposing for the husband to do, where what he's doing now is, he's giving her the courtyard, meaning at least the spot of where it's in, that where the get is on top of that spot, he's acquiring to her that, because now she's not acquiring the get, she's acquiring the chatzer, or at least the space of the chatzer, which is where the get's on it, and the get which is on top of that, she automatically acquires with that. Because as the Mishnah says in Masechet Kedushin, Nechasim she'ein le'machrayis, meaning movable items, are nicknim im nechasim she'esh le'machrayis, can be acquired with what's called the kinyan of agav. If you're acquiring properties that have liability, which is another word used for karka, if you buy that land with either money or a document or with a chazaka, which is what he was proposing over here, so whatever metalin is on there that you also want to sell is automatically sold with that. So therefore, this woman who is going to do a kinyan chazaka on the land, which is where the get is on, and by opening and closing the door, that will be a chazaka, as we learned in the Mishnah Baba Basra. So now she's acquired that land and the get, which is nechasim she'ein le'machrayis, together with that. That's how she can get the get on Shabbos, so this guy could calm down, doesn't have to be worried that he's going to his death, leaving his wife stranded like that. That's what Rava proposed. Amalei Rav Ilish l'Rava. Rav Ilish said to Rava, I don't understand. What are you helping? Whatever woman acquires, her husband acquires. So even if he's saying he's being machnet to her, the space of where the get is on, it's like he already acquired it. It's like he owns it. Because even if she owns it, but that's his. Whatever she owns, he owns. So even if that's going to be the way, but the get still never was removed from his domain, because it's still considered his on some level. So what did you gain? So the Gemara tells Ichsef, Rava was embarrassed. Because he's right. What he had proposed was not a good option. Now, L'saif igli milsa darusav. At the end, it was actually revealed that the woman was not actually married to this man. She was just engaged, which still would leave her in this procedure of yibum. But Amar Rava, but Rava said, I'm not wrong. Because im amru b'nesua, if they said regarding a married woman that a husband merits the rights of his wife's nechasim, yimu barusa, did you think we said that regarding an engaged woman? And therefore, it's not a difficulty because, yes, if he's going to be machnet to her, you don't say kom asher kansa arusa kana baila. And therefore, that would be a good option of getting her the get. Now, Rashi explains, as we'll see shortly in the Gemara, this halacha of Rava was said before this halacha of Rava that we proposed for the second answer of our Mishnah, who said that there is a halacha of gita v'chatzer boin ke'echad, because actually that was said after this, what he just said over here, whereas our Gemara quotes. Our Gemara quotes that that's what Rava had said. I wasn't wrong. Yes, for Nesua, maybe I would have been wrong. But she was actually not Rusa. So therefore, there's no Kol Masha Kansa, Rusa Kana Baila. But Hadama Rava, actually, Rava later retracted and he says, no, I was not wrong. Even if she was married, I wouldn't be wrong. Because Loishna Rusa, Loishna Nesua, doesn't make a difference if she was engaged, and doesn't make a difference even if she was married. Because Gita V'chatzer Bo'en Ke'achad. Because her get and her courtyard happened at the same time, and therefore, even if you're going to say, in this case, you're not going to, because since it's a get that's happening, so what she's acquiring is acquiring with the get at the same time, then she is going to be divorced, even if she's in the suah. Now, the Gemara asked the question that we just alluded to before, but V'amar Rava Mi'ikara. Rava already said this before. In other words, as we mentioned this earlier in the Gemara, as the second interpretation of our Mishnah, so why was he embarrassed in the beginning when Rav Ilish had asked him, oh, Komasha Kansa Isha Kana Baila, what do you mean? There's no problem, as Rava later ended up saying. So the Gemara says, no, ki amr Rava, that when did Rava say that teretz, which we mentioned earlier, ahamaisa amr, it was actually this story that happened, where originally he thought that Rav Ilish is correct, that it's only by an arusa that it would work. But then he later thought, and he says, no, with no question, because gid v'chatzer boin ke'echad, and therefore he said, I'm not wrong, even if she was in the sua, and it was at later point in time that he had this answer, that then he used it to answer the halacha of our Mishnah, that is no difficulty of kama shakon se ishakon abayla, because again of gita v'chatzer boin ke'echad. Now, Mishnah said, this halacha that we're discussing, if the husband throws a get to his wife, v'hi b'toich beis, and she's in her house, so then she's mugareshes, as we learned in the Gemara, because when it says that he has to put in her hand, doesn't mean literally her hand, it means even her domains. Now, but there's actually machlikis that how to interpret this halacha. Amar Ula, he says, but v'hushay medis, b'tzad beisu, b'tzad chatzer. But as long as she's standing on the side of her field, on the side of her house, that's important, because if she's not there, it's not going to be a valid get. Whereas Rabbi Yishayam, he says, no, afil hi b'tveria v'chatzer b'tzipari, even if she's in Tveria and her courtyard is in Tzipari, or hi b'tzipari v'chatzer b'tveria, she's in Tzipari and her courtyard is in Tveria, migurish. Even if he throws into her courtyard and she's nowhere in there, she's still going to be divorced. Now, the Gemara asks, under Rabbi Yishayam's interpretation, seemingly Ula is correct. because Vaha he betech beiso betech hatzer gutan. Now Mishnah said clearly that, but she's in the house and she's in the courtyard, and then she's going to be megrashes. So how could he say even if she's far away? So the Gemara says no hachikama. What Rabbi Yishai would tell you, the Mishnah is saying is v'hi kimisha betech beiso, that she is as if she's in the house, and v'hi kimisha betech hatzer, and it's like as if she's in her courtyard. As if she's in the house, but yeah, it literally doesn't have to be that she's in our house. Because what does it mean that we need her to be there? It's only because we need the courtyard to be safeguarded according to her awareness. In other words, it's going to be based on what she says and her commands, which, as we'll see later on the next daf, that comes to exclude, for example, if let's say the husband gives the get into her slave, who's awake at that point in time, where that's not going to be a valid get, because although the slave is owned by her and it should be considered a chatzera, but that's a chatzah hamishtamer shaloy ledait. It's not safeguarded based on her intelligence, because he's watching himself. That's what's excluded. But regarding chatzera and beisa, she doesn't have to be there. It's the keep in the chatzah mishtamer shaloy. It's because it has to be a courtyard that's safeguarded according to her intelligence, according to her instructions. So miskaresha, she's divorced. She doesn't have to be there literally herself. As long as it's her that maintains the safeguarding, even if she's far away, it's going to be considered part of the salacha of her domains which she's divorced. So that's machlekes Ula and Rabbi Yishai. Now, so the Gemara says, Lema b'ha kamifugi. Let's say they're arguing about the following principle. The Mar Sava that Ula holds, chatzah mishum yad de isra boy, that the halacha of a courtyard is included from the halachic principle, which seemingly like we learned on Amud Aleph, that it says v'nosin biyada, which we said we're going to qualify, but yeah, v'nosin, any type of giving into her domain, but it has to be similar to her hand. Now, therefore, just like a hand is near the woman, so too, her chatzar has to be near her. That's why she has to be on the side of it. But Amar Sava b'Rabbeishi holds, chatzah mishum shlichus esra boy, that no, that the halachic principle of chatzah, that we say that the get works even when you put it into our courtyard, works along the same lines as an agent, as a shlichus, as a messenger, where just like the shlich is considered kamaisai, but they could be far away, so too the chatzah is considered an extension of the person, but it could also be far away. It doesn't have to be that the woman's on the side of the field or the side of her house. So the Gemara says, like, no. The kuleyam chatzah mishum yodei esra boy. Everyone agrees. And again, as that we had said from the pasuk, that was the limud from benos and biyada, that the giving that you could do in gaga, chatzer, kafifa has to be similar to yad, because that's where it's learned out from. Now, mar sava kiyada, mar sava ula holds has to be like the hand, which ma yada besmucha, just like a hand is near the person, af chatzer besmucha, so too the courtyard has to be near the person. That's why she has to be on the side of the field. But viida chabrishi holds no. I'll prove to you that's not exact like a hand. What do you think, that just like a hand is attached to the woman at the shoulders, so too the courtyard has to be attached to the woman? Obviously not. That has to be like the hand. So he qualifies, what does it mean like the hand? That just like a hand has to be safeguarded by the person, it's the, who's taking care of the hand, who watches the hand, is the person themselves. So too, when it says her courtyard is like the hand, has to be a courtyard that she watches. That excludes a courtyard that's not watched, even though she owns it, but it's not watched by her. Again, as we'll explain in the next daf, like her slave that's awake, who he watches himself, not his mistress, not his owner. And that's the case that's being excluded. But yada doesn't mean that you have to be right next to it. It could be even if you're in Sepiri and it's in Teveria. Now, the Gemara brings the following maisa, that hahu gavra, the zark legita ledebesu. There was a certain man that threw a get to his wife. And have a kaima b'chatzer. She was in a courtyard. Azl gita nafal b'pisla. Now the get went and fell on a piece of wood. So Amar Yisrael says chazinan. Let's see. Ihav ye arba amas al arba amas. If that piece of wood was 4 amas squared, paligle reshus l'nafshe, it creates its own separate area for itself. Hence, it's not considered part of the larger courtyard. And therefore, since it fell on that piece of wood, she's not going to be divorced because it didn't fall into the courtyard. Rishon Gemara surely is going to ask, what's the case? Whose courtyard is it? Why? What's the problem if it falls on a piece of wood? But the point is, the piece of wood, if it's that big, is considered its own area, and it's not like it fell into the courtyard, and therefore she's not divorced. But v'iloy, if it's not that big, chadar reshusahi, then it's considered one domain with the courtyard that it's in, and then she will be divorced. Now the Gemara is b'mayiskin, what's the case that we're discussing? Ilei mebuchatze dida, if it told me that it's her courtyard, she owns it, so then, ki have dalet amas, my have it. So the Gemara asks, so even if the piece of wood is dalet amas, what's the difference? They're all hers. It's her courtyard. She could have buildings, she could have whatever she wants in there, but it's all hers. Who cares that it's a piece of wood? Why wouldn't she be divorced if it's dalet amas squared? So, elabuchatzah today. So what are you going to say? It's talking about that it's in his courtyard. Then the question is, Kila hava arba amis, my hava, then even if it's not dalet amis, what's the difference? Why is she divorced? If it's his courtyard, as we said in the Mishnah, then she's not going to be divorced even if it falls in the courtyard itself. What's the difference if that piece of wood is smaller than dalet amis? So the Gemara says, Loi tzricha, the case that we're talking about over here is that it's his courtyard, but the oishla makim is where he lent her space in his courtyard to acquire her get from him. Now, that the Gemara explains, the chad makim mushli inshi. A person lends a person, when he lends him his place to use to acquire something, he only lends him one space. Trei makim yisle mushli inshi. A person doesn't lend the person two spaces. So therefore, if the piece of wood is 4 amas squared, it's its own area. And if that's where the get falls, I only gave you my chatzar, not this piece of wood. And therefore, she's not going to be mugrashes. But if it's smaller than that, then it's considered part of the larger courtyard. And therefore, since it's in the courtyard, which he gave her to acquire the get, then she's going to be divorced. Now, the Gemara adds on to the qualification of Rav Yisus Halacha and says, only if it's not 10 tefachim high. But if it's 10 tefachim high, then even if it's not 4 amas squared, since it creates its own distinct area in its height, she's not going to be divorced. And another qualification, and we only said this, that only if it doesn't have, as we continue to talk about, chesem and aleph, shame levai, that it doesn't have its own unique term, or its own unique name, meaning it's just called pisla, a piece of wood. But if it has its own distinct name, meaning to say that it's not just a piece of wood, it's a carpenter's wood or whatever it is, it has something that's its own chashiv, it's its own distinction, then even if it's not 10 tefachim high, and it's not 4 amas squared, doesn't make a difference. It has its own chashiv, it's its own recognition, and then even in that way, if it falls in that piece of wood, since it's its own area, it's not considered butzel to the larger courtyard, she's not going to be divorced again because the husband lends her only one area, not two areas, and this creates its own area, and that's why she's not going to be divorced.